This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Airbnb.
I just got invited to the first wedding of the summer.
Yeah.
Happens to be a gay wedding.
Nice.
Very excited to attend.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Thursday, the new Friday, December 3rd, Jack.
This pod is too good. I don't want to mess around. I want to get right to it.
Jack, it's actually better than yesterday's TBOY, the best one yet. What's our first story over there?
NASDAQ is setting new rules to play on their stock exchange.
Jack, one woman, one minority, or go home.
For our second story, Citibank makes money on interest, overdraft fees, and those annoying ATM fees like $4.50.
They're the worst. But Jack, it's the side hustle of Citibank Venture Capital that we want to talk about.
They should think about stopping the exporting and just focusing on the importing.
Side hustle to full hustle. I like what you did with that.
For our third and final story, the Slackquisition is now official.
Snackers, now we know who won and by how much, and then of course, who lost.
But before we hit those three fantastic stories.
Wonderful stories, Jack. Wonderful stories.
This week has been a big week for Forbes magazine.
Yeah, it is, Jack. So you got the world's richest people list, and then you got the world's richest sports franchises list, both courtesy of Forbes.
The Yankees still haven't recovered from the loss of Derek Jeter.
So true, Jack. But time now, Snackers, for the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, which, you know, it drives clicks.
They just unveiled over at Forbes magazine the 2020 class of 30 Under 30.
Jack, you know the first rule of the Forbes 30 Under 30 list?
I don't. What is it?
You got to post on LinkedIn that you're humbled.
That is a mandatory requirement. And guess who stole Forbes' thunder like right away?
Jack, who stole Forbes' thunder?
Spotify.
Spotify just came out with their year in review list. It's called Wrapped 2020 of your most listened to songs and podcasts.
I just learned, apparently I'm trying to become the fifth son in Mumford & Sons.
Jack, you've got the beard for it. By the way, I stalked us by listening to our very own podcast for, you know, a casual 3,000 minutes this year.
I'm flattered, Nick, that you stalked us. But Spotify's moment in the list spotlight only lasted like 15 minutes.
Jack, you're so right, because then Apple announced its top apps list of 2020.
Congrats, Disney Plus and Zoom. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, and then Inc. magazine revealed its top 10 list of business books for 2020.
Everybody's publishing lists right now because it's list season and the publishers know that you love a good list.
Jack, lists drive clicks. Toss it on a t-shirt.
Nick, do you want to see the top five reasons why someone should come up with a top 2020 lists list?
Well, we already listed our three stories in a list, so why don't we just hit them right now?
Let's hit it.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks about the hair ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, /SIPC.
For our first story, the Slackquisition is finally official.
If you own Slack, this is a huge win for you.
If you own Salesforce, it's a huge loss for you.
Before we get into that, Mark Benioff, CEO of Salesforce, he is a prolific texter.
Yeah, he is. He gets back to everyone. Not us, but.
Not us. Now he owns a messaging company, Nick.
A little emphasis on the at here. There's going to be a lot of at here.
Now, on Monday, Snackers, we told you this was happening. Salesforce is buying Slack.
But then three wild things happened in just the last 48 hours involving those two companies.
Salesforce reported their quarterly earnings.
Yep.
Slack also reported their quarterly earnings.
Interesting.
And a $28 billion price tag for the deal was announced.
So now that the acquisition is finally official, perfect time, Jack and I were thinking, to look at what actually comes next, because no one talks about what comes next.
Seems as straightforward as buying a salad at Sweetgreen.
Yeah, it does.
Someone gets paid, mm-hmm. The other does the paying.
But Salesforce's acquisition of Slack has some fascinating payouts in particular that we want to focus on.
First, we want to announce the winner of this deal. You ready?
Okay, yeah, here we go. We got a list going here. What do we got, Jack? What do we got? Who's the winner?
Slack.
Snackers, if you own Slack stock, say that five times fast. It was at a disappointing $29 a share just last week. That's where it was hanging out.
It was up just 30% this year. Even though many expected that Slack was going to be a pandemic winner, like up there with Zoom.
We thought it was like Zoom's sibling. Everyone thought that. That was the thing in May.
It's not Zoom sibling. But now Salesforce is going to buy every single share there is of Slack, paying with both cash and Salesforce stock.
So every share of Slack is going to receive $26.79 in cash.
But wait, there's more.
Yep, no cash on delivery. Snackers, plus you're going to get 7.7% of a share of Salesforce.
And Salesforce is $220 a share. So that's $17. That's not nothing, that 7.7% of a share.
All right, so if you've been keeping track on your little whiteboard over there, we can add this up for you. So Slack stock owners are going to get a $44 payout for a stock that was worth just $29 last week.
Let's do a little more math for you. That's a 51% gain for anybody who owns Slack over the course of just 1 week.
All right, so we got to talk about the yin to the yang here. Jack, the loser in this deal.
Well, by the process of elimination, it's easy.
Yeah, we're going to use that. It's going to be Salesforce. Salesforce was the loser here.
Now, Nick, buying a boat is an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, it is.
It's not awesome if you pay way too much for that boat.
No, it's pretty awkward. And Snaggers, Salesforce is basically Venmoing a total of $17 billion to Slack's millions of shareholders right now.
And they're paying another $11 billion, a brand new minted Salesforce stock, which dilutes the value of all the existing Salesforce stock.
We're going to the other side of our whiteboard here, doing a little more math, and this deal results in an immediate 15% loss for people who own Salesforce stock.
So on paper, Slack shareholders won this deal.
You got a 51% gain.
And Salesforce shareholders lost this deal.
You got a 15% loss.
But in life, Salesforce is hoping that this deal makes it a more valuable company in the long term with this Slack integration.
Even if in the short term, Wall Street doesn't agree. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the Slackquisition?
Salesforce looks desperate to keep growing.
Snackers, total coincidence here, but Salesforce and Slack both announced third quarter earnings just yesterday when all this was going down.
Despite the pandemic, Slack's revenue growth slowed last quarter.
Brutal.
And it's still not making a profit.
And Wall Street's not impressed that Salesforce is paying so much for an unprofitable Slack.
On the other side of the cloud server, Salesforce's revenue growth would have slowed in 2020 if not for a bunch of acquisitions that made the company bigger.
And honestly, Jack and I checked it out. It looks like Salesforce's growth would have slowed more in 2021 if not for this Slackquisition yesterday.
Marc Benioff, CEO of Salesforce, refuses to let his company's growth slow down.
But that comes at a high, big, huge cost. For our second story, mattress. Citibank is not just a bank. No, it's not, Jack.
Nick, Citibank secretly has one of the most successful venture capital arms outside of Silicon Valley.
All right, Snackers. Jack and I have been thinking this for a while, so we're just gonna put this out there and say it. Corporate venture capital arms are the sweatpants of venture capital.
It used to be boring. Now everyone's doing it.
They're everywhere. In fact, corporate venture capital arms, which are just the VC arms of some company, they've invested in 1/4 of all venture capital deals in the last year.
For example, Kellogg, the cereal company, they have a venture capital arm. It's called 1894 because that's when the company was founded.
It's clever. And they've invested in Purely Elizabeth. By the way, fantastic granola.
If there's not a local granola baked like down the road, than I do get Purely Elizabeth. It is delicious and crunchy.
It feels localish. Now, they've also invested in Beyond Meat, which is one of their big venture capital success stories.
But Citibank, the New York City Wall Street firm, they've also got some employees wearing Allbirds and Patagonia vests.
Yeah, they do.
They got their own corporate venture capital arm, and they've been incredibly busy, Jack and I just noticed.
They make about 10 investments a year to startups, giving them about $20 million each.
Which is one of the fastest paces of investment you see out of any corporate venture capital arms.
And their track record is strong. They've invested in 9 unicorn companies worth over $1 billion, 6 of whom have exited, getting Citibank a nice, lucrative financial return.
Yeah, so Citibank's not just planting millions of seeds, they're reaping multi-million dollar harvests here.
And that bountiful harvest rolls up into the parent company, Citigroup, and their quarterly earnings.
All right, so Jack and I jumped in snack style, and we noticed there's a really interesting strategy to Citibank's venture capital investments.
And we're going to illustrate that strategy by imagining together that we're going to buy a standing desk online.
Why not? You know, actually, full disclosure here, Jack and I record this pod standing. We are always standing.
I only record the pod, though, standing, Nick. I do everything else seated because I'm not like Dwight Schrute trying to prove a point here.
Jack and I are seated 22 hours of the day, and then 2 hours we're standing on this pod.
All right, so you want to buy a standing desk. You go over to Jet.com, which is now owned by Walmart.
Yeah, and then you're going to check out. So you use Honey, the plug-in Honey, to get a discount code so you can buy that standing desk.
Then you wanted to split the standing desk because you and your roommate are both using it. So you use Square's Cash App to pay them back.
Then once you get that cash in your Cash App, you're going to transfer it to your bank account using a service called Plaid.
And then you might move that money to your Betterment account so you can, you know, invest again.
But all those companies we just mentioned in that transaction chain, they all were investments by Citi's venture capital arm.
And each of those represent juicy, profitable returns because Citi invested early in all of those booming companies.
And some of them IPO'd, some of them have been acquired.
Ironically, one of those companies they invested in, Square, is now nearly as valuable as Citigroup itself.
Just 8 years after Citigroup's investment. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Citi?
Doesn't matter what kind of investor you are, invest in the things you know.
Snacker, Citi's venture capital arm didn't just invest in all those startups because, you know, they were just related to finance.
Get this, 2/3 of the companies that Citi has invested in, they are vendors of Citibank, like DocuSign, for example, a company Citi has invested in.
And is using on a daily basis.
So Citibank works with companies before investing in them.
It uses the products, and so it knew the products. It dated, basically, before it popped the investment question.
This strategy works for corporate venture capital, non-corporate venture capital, even regular old buddies like you and me, regular investors.
You can invest in what you know best, which may be just what you've used the most. For our third and final story, the NASDAQ Stock Exchange wants way more diversity on corporate boards ASAP.
So they're trying to force companies to do so, or else they can pack up all their stock and go home.
Pretty much the deal here. Now, Snackers, here's the funny thing about NASDAQ. It's a publicly traded company in the business of trading publicly traded stocks.
Ticker symbol NDAC, they're listed on their own NASDAQ stock exchange.
Jack, ticker symbol should be META.
Meta. Good call. They also manage the famous NASDAQ Composite Index, which tracks the stock prices of a bunch of tech companies.
But then NASDAQ just came out yesterday and said, you know what? Companies are too white and they're too male.
So they proposed a new rule to the SEC.
All right, so here's where it gets creative. You got to have at least one woman on your board of directors and one person who identifies as either an underrepresented minority or LGBTQ+.
And if you don't, you must explain why, which is awkward, but the NASDAQ is actually going to make you publicly explain why.
Very, very strange letter to put on paper.
And then they're going to give you like 1 or 2 or 3 years to change your ways and comply with the new rule.
If you don't, you get delisted from the NASDAQ, and then you go to the New York Stock Exchange, which is going to feel awkward for the New York Stock Exchange.
We wonder if the New York Stock Exchange is going to pass a similar rule if this comes into action.
All right, so Jack, I'm going to just throw out some ideas here. You ready? Food critic, pro hockey player, PFWTM board member.
We're talking hashtag job goals because board members, Nick, they can get paid like a few $100,000 per year to attend like 10 meetings.
You don't even have to fly to these things. You could just Zoom. 2 years ago, you could have Zoomed into these meetings.
Here's the thing though about board of directors in America's corporations. They are overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly male.
So Jack and I jumped in snack style, and of the top 3,500 publicly traded companies, only 20% of the board members are female.
And only 10% of those board members are non-white.
So NASDAQ then cites like 2 dozen other studies
studies that are showing better diversity, leading to better financial results on top of all that.
One specific example, Boston Consulting Group did a study last year showing that diverse management teams have 19% better innovation than non-diverse management teams.
All right, so add that all up and we know what you're thinking. So what's like the current situation with all of NASDAQ's companies right now?
According to NASDAQ's review, which they announced yesterday with this new proposed rule, 3/4 of the companies listed on NASDAQ would fail if the rule was in effect today.
That's right. If 3/4 of the companies on NASDAQ don't make this change, if this becomes a rule, they would technically have to delist from NASDAQ.
Now it's up to the SEC to decide if this rule is okay before it becomes reality.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at NASDAQ?
Big corporations have become de facto lawmakers in America.
All right, snackers, pop on over to Germany. Any board with over 3 people on it must have at least one woman.
That's the law. And California passed a similar law for companies based in California at the state level.
But nationwide here in the US, Congress hasn't done anything like this.
But NASDAQ has the power as the gatekeeper to stock markets. They're like a bouncer who can check your ID before letting you into the stock market.
Yeah, and then if you don't get in on NASDAQ stock market, the only other bar in town is the New York Stock Exchange. You're kind of stuck.
Yeah, it's pretty much 2 major stock markets.
So if NASDAQ thinks companies should have more diversity on their boards, it can require that. Oh, and it can make that happen.
That's kind of the role of Congress, because it sounds like a legislative policy kind of thing, but Congress hasn't done anything.
All right, so when we look at a little bigger picture here, Apple's taken stance with online privacy, Amazon's taken some stance with sustainability, and now NASDAQ has taken stance with diversity.
We're seeing companies that are big enough to act as gatekeepers, they're setting de facto laws in America.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Salesforce just got the company it wanted to get,
but it came at a big cost, and Wall Street judged that decision negatively by 15%.
For our second story, Citibank does banking and venture capital.
They invest in what they know and what they use, and it's working for them.
For our third and final story, NASDAQ is taking leadership in the fight to diversify corporate America.
Big corporate gatekeepers, they're writing their own laws. Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one sent in by Angela Shen in lovely Vancouver, Canada, and Bradley Freeman from fantastic Los Angeles.
When you're auditioning for a show, Nick, someone might tell you before your audition, break a leg.
Yeah, we've all heard break a leg. They've said break a leg. You've been saying this for years and it's disconcerting. It's awkward, but you say it.
There's a reason though. They are hoping that you end up getting in the cast.
Let it sink in. It took us a minute.
The cast. One word, 2 meanings. That's called the homonym.
Perfect. Yeah, you're adding, it's like the takeaway to this snack back. Fantastic. Snackers, you guys look fantastic today. Jack, I love the chambray.
Do I look fantastic?
You look fantastic, too.
Snackers, ask your buddies HYHYSD.
Have you had your snacks daily?
Nick and I will see you tomorrow.
Can't wait. If you know, you know. And before we go, Snackers, big happy birthday to Julia Agostinucci over in Rome.
And happy birthday to Bakhtiar Aksamov in Tashkent, Uzbekistan.
And to Alex Ellison in Shreveport, Louisiana.
And Corey Ireland in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
And happy birthday to Meredith Hare in Atlanta.
And to Jared in San Diego.
And Claire Higgins in Bend, Oregon.
And Apoorva Adipali in Hyderabad, India.
And big congrats to David and Molly, just had their anniversary in Irvine, California.
And congrats to Michael Kelman and Erica Diddy Combs, who just got engaged in California. This is Jack. Nick owns stock of Square and Apple. I own stock of Amazon, and we both own stock of Beyond Meat.
The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like the best one yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.